The Jota is a Spanish folk dance popular in Spain, dating back centuries. With different variations depending on the region, Jota is derived from Latin and means jump, which describes the lively, bouncy movements of the dance. Castanets are percussion instruments that almost tickle the ear and are used in Moorish, Ottoman, ancient Roman, Italian, Sephardic, Swiss, and Portuguese music, but also by the Phoenicians 3,000 years ago. The instrument consists of a pair of concave shells joined together on one edge by a string, held in the hand and used to produce rhythmic accents or a rattling sound consisting of a rapid series of clicks. Although the castanets were not used in the Americas, the Jota is clearly the foundation of many couple dances in the Americas, courtship dances, such as the Jota Tapatio of Jalisco, Mexico. The Philippine Jota was among the most popular dances during the Spanish colonial period and up until the early 20th century. It was originally performed in social gatherings, like weddings and baptisms, but the Filipinos adapted different versions of their own, with a notable difference being the use of bamboo castanets. Legend states that this dance was originally brought to Spain by the exiled Moorish poet Aben Yat. The Spanish occupation by the Moors began in 711 AD, at first mainly by Berbers, later joined by Arabs, crossing the Strait of Gibraltar from North Africa and invading the Iberian Peninsula. The Berber tribes of the region were noted in classical literature as Mari, from present-day Morocco, subsequently rendered as Moors in English and other Aryan or Indo-European languages. The Berbers are currently located geographically around Mount Atlas, but inhabit much of North Africa long before the Arabs arrived. The Berbers are considered the aboriginals of the area, and their origins beyond that are not officially known. Here we have a population, many of whom have blue eyes and light hair, living in Northwest Africa of all places. And amongst some of the blonde tribes still living near the Atlas Mountains of Morocco, the percentage of Rh negative blood can reach 40%. Now keep in mind, that's not the general national average, but restricted to certain local tribes. Anthropologists, for the most part, dismissed them for many years because they didn't fit well with the out of Africa paradigm. So it was presumed that they had migrated from somewhere in Europe. However, that theory has been abandoned with the current understanding of genetics. Scientists now accept the genetic evidence that concludes Berbers are an indigenous people, which they believe are descended from native Upper Paleolithic Cro-Magnon types going straight back into the Pleistocene or Ice Age. This should make it easier to understand why the oldest remains found in Egypt, nicknamed Ginger, and currently on display in the British Museum, has naturally red hair. This is pre-dynastic, which means before the pharaohs and before the accepted dating of the pyramids. I can go on for quite some time about blonde and red-headed mummies and blue-eyed statues.
Parce que le mot berbère, étymologiquement parlant, veut dire de la forêt, veut dire sauvage. Hein. C'est un mot qui vient du grec, que les Romains aussi ont utilisé, que les Français utilisent sous forme de berbère et que les Arabes utilisent sous forme de barbare. Hein. Et c'est un mot qui n'existe pas dans notre langue. Hein. Nous appelons amazigh et non pas berbère.
What angers Miriam is that while her people are being written out of the nation's history books, their traditions are being stage-managed for tourist dollars.
Ce qui m'a surtout embêté, c'est les filles qui sont les Arabes déguisés en amazigh. Là, je trouvais ça un peu fort, quoi.
Ouais.
Pour prendre des photos pour les souvenirs avec les touristes.
But Miriam has found like-minded militants who are driven to discuss exactly those issues.
Qu'on est ici depuis 33 siècles, on n'a pas d'histoire. Si on l'a, mais les cachettes. Il faut réécrire l'histoire du Maroc.
Réécrire l'histoire parce qu'on nous l'a volé.
Parce que on a des hommes ici. On n'a qu'un petit paragraphe dans l'histoire. Un petit paragraphe.
Ksent.
Elle est...
Même ce petit paragraphe, ils l'ont fait sauter.
Ah ouais. Un petit paragraphe d'Imazir.
And when we stop into a tent to while away the evening, we find out it's not Amazigh music at all. They're an Arab group, invited by the government to perform at this Amazigh festival. Later, I ask Miriam if she's been saddened by what she saw at Imashil.
Ben oui, parce que nous étions sûrement 99% ou quelque chose de ce genre. Nous sommes aujourd'hui 70. Demain, ça sera 60, 50, 40, 30, et puis on sera comme les Indiens d'Amérique.
Amazigh are the non-Arab people native to the Mediterranean that not only predate Arabs, they predate any sub-Saharan Africans in North Africa. That, although it's part of the African continent, is more importantly part of the Mediterranean. More important to seafaring populations, that is. The Carthaginians were Phoenician settlers in modern-day Tunisia, another region of North Africa, who shared genetic affinities to the Berbers and Phoenicians. Like other Phoenician populations, their urbanized culture and economy were strongly linked to the sea. They also share symbols, such as the five-pointed pentagram, incidentally the same amount of points as a pyramid, where we count four on the base, and the fifth represented as the missing top, including an eye, or the five-fingered Hamza, popular in North Africa and the Mediterranean, which also features an eye, always blue, like the blue eyes depicted on the statues of ancient Egyptian pharaohs and Sumerian nobility. There would also appear to be a clear relationship between Phoenicians and the ancient Hebrews that stretches as far away as Spain.
So King Solomon would send, along with King Hiram of the Phoenician Empire, fleets of ships every 3 years to Tarshish to bring back gold and silver, exotic animals, exotic fruits, and so forth. This ancient Tarshish is none other than Sepharad. You must say, what's Sepharad? Sepharad is Spain. Even to this date, Spain is Sepharad. And from there you derive the term Sephardic or Sephardim, that are the initial ancestors of Jews in Spain, that's Sepharad. Now, talking about Christopher Columbus, a lot of people don't know, but I'm sharing this with you, he was a converso, meaning he too was a crypto-Jew or a Jew in hiding. It so happens that the majority of the passengers on La Niña, La Pinta, and La Santa Maria, his fleet of ships, were of our kind of surname. What kind of surname? Hispanic surname, Spanish surnames. We are the descendants, many of you are descendants of the secret Jews of Spain. That's the crypto Jews I'm referring to.
Beginning with Columbus in 1492 and continuing for nearly 350 years, Spain conquered and settled most of South America, the Caribbean, and the American Southwest. By 1824, all of Spain's New World colonies, except Cuba and Puerto Rico, had fought for and won their independence.
secrets are coming to the surface.
The hidden Jewish heritage of who knows how many Hispanics is coming to light now through DNA and genetic testing. More and more families in northern New Mexico and southern Colorado are discovering there is more to their history than they ever knew.
A short hike up a small mountain west of Los Lunas. It's a spiritual journey for Bill Sanchez, a man who comes here to see this, the Ten Commandments, etched in stone.
My belief is that they came here to this mountain.
Once he gets here, Sanchez puts on a yarmulke and a prayer shawl, and then he prays.
Baruch atah Adonai.
Just like the prayer, the words on the rock are written in Hebrew.
I believe that here our Sephardic ancestors had a community where they worshipped. Freely.
The work of Jewish settlers who practiced their faith in secret up here hundreds of years ago. And he says he's living proof.
80% of my DNA is Sephardic Jewish.
Sanchez is a priest at the St. Edwin Catholic Church in Albuquerque, South Valley. Inside the church, symbols of Father Bill's alter ego and the balance between the religion he's always known and the ancestry he confirmed through DNA back in 2001.
Guess who's my father there? He's a little boy.
Family secrets now make sense. That's his dad, wearing a yarmulke in an old family picture.
Its secrets are still waiting to be found.
Sanchez is now working with other New Mexico Hispanics, eager to learn about their secret past.
I said to myself, al fin, aquí son mi gente. Finally, I found my people. These are the people that look like me, that have the same customs.
Our family had been in the Powaki Valley forever and ever and ever. We thought that we were just the descendants of Spaniards that came into New Mexico.
Research is showing Sephardic Jews held on to their religion in secret after leaving Spain and Portugal during the Spanish Inquisition, which eventually followed them to the New World. Bernadette Martinez says it's an exciting time. She confirmed her Jewish heritage through DNA testing 3 years ago.
We have been hidden for almost 500 years. And that is exciting to me, that there is a God who so cared about us that he took us, hid us, protected us. And now he's saying that this is who you are.
Tim Maestas, KRQE News 13.
Fascinating.
The year 1492 is forever associated with Columbus's voyage to the New World, but the expulsion of the Jews was the most immediate and dramatic event of that year. The Alhambra Decree, issued in January 1492, ordered the conversion or expulsion of all non-Christians. The deadline for the Jews to leave Spain was August 3rd, 1492. Columbus and his crew boarded their vessels before midnight and on August 3rd sailed before sunrise. I doubt any American history books teach that Columbus set sail on the last day on which Jews had to leave Spain. The ancient Paleo-Hebrew alphabet is similar to the one used by the Phoenicians. Hebrew belongs to the Canaanite group of languages and is the only living Canaanite language today. The Canaanites are broadly defined to include the Israelites, as well as the Phoenicians and Carthaginians, people who dominated the Mediterranean for millennia. The Minoans and Mycenaeans originated in Neolithic populations of what are today Turkey and Greece, the area where the world's oldest megalithic structures are found, and that is biblically regarded as the spot where Noah settled after the Great Deluge. From where domesticated animals and agriculture were spread into Europe, the Indus Valley, as well as to Egypt during the Holocene. From this, one can better understand why there are 13 original colonies, a number that is part of many ancient mystery schools, and why today an unusual number of countries have flags whose colors consist only of red, white, and blue, the colors of the ruling crowns of ancient Egypt. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an independent anthropologist. Thank you for listening and for subscribing if you've done so. Please share my videos if you enjoy them. I rely on word of mouth. thank you to my subscribers that have donated to Atlantean Gardens, the nonprofit organization that publishes my books, available on Amazon.com, and makes these educational videos possible. Don't forget to leave a comment. I'll see you next time.